Greetings, you're listening to the Alaska Climate and Aviation Podcast, and I'm Katie Ryder. Today's episode is going to be about the Arctic Encounter Symposium that was held in Anchorage, Alaska, April 10th. The speakers were from all around the world, and this episode is going to be about the Beyond the Arctic Circle, Harnessing Storytelling and Media in Northern Communities. There was a wonderful conversations of filmmakers and podcasters and directors that are working on making the Native voice heard. We had a great assortment of people speaking, and today we're going to start with some words from Patrick Glenn. Patrick is the Executive Director of Arctic Slope Community Foundation. Here's Patrick.
You know, the Arctic is so vast, and although we have a lot of similarities, we also have a lot of differences. I would say the first place to start is to allow for a platform for Arctic people to be able to speak, just as this. Thank you, Rachel. That's a start. Or, you know, when you're working on stories of the Arctic, go to the Arctic. Work with the people. Work hand in hand with them rather than just use them as your story where you pick and choose what you want to ask. It's extremely hard for us as Inupiaq people to identify with what we see in mass media today.
In today's world, there is a tremendous opportunity for young people to create a presence and tell their own stories through social media platforms as well as podcasting. Patrick's sister, Alice Glenn, had been away at college, and when she returned home to Anchorage, she was frustrated with what she was not hearing on the radio. She wanted to hear more of her own people's voice. Here's Alice.
The intent with that was, I remember I had just moved back from college. I was working, you know, kind of a 9-to-5 job, and I turn on the radio, and I'm like, okay, what am I listening to? And I remember the like hot topic or the music was just something I didn't like, frankly. And then also it was like, the topic was like, who's Justin Bieber dating? You know, and I'm like, I don't care who Justin Bieber is dating. As an Inupiaq millennial living in Anchorage, I had concerns. I had things that I wanted to hear more about. And you know, when you go away to school, go away to college, and you come back home, and you're reconnecting with people, with food, with culture, with identity even, right? And so I was inspired. I remember I went to Patrick's Christmas party, and she had all of her girlfriends and all my aunties kind of hanging around, and they were fighting over ivory earrings and the Christmas exchange. And I was like, this is pure comedy. This is pure love. This is so fun and exciting. And why can't we show or talk about those kinds of things in media, right? And so I kind of started getting introspective with myself, like, what do I care about? What do I want to learn more about? And things popped up, you know, like language revitalization, climate change, the revitalization of traditional Inuit tattoos, and I had questions myself. And so I was like, well, the people are here, you know, they're available, they're my friends, they're people I want to meet, they're around. Why don't I sit down with someone the way that I know how to have conversations with someone and to it be a discussion rather than kind of like an interview, you know? So when I would sit down with folks from, like when I sat down with Melissa Shaganoff, who's an amazing artist, and she was working at the museum for a while. You know, as an Inupiaq person, how do we share stories with one another? We sit down, we have some Inupiaq food, mucked up pop or whatever, and we give and take, right? We're getting to know one another and we're sharing stories. And I felt like that was a beautiful thing. And it's not such a transactional kind of setting where You know, you have a reporter coming into your face asking you 10 questions, and then you never hear from the reporter again. I feel like every single person that I sit down with and have a conversation with, they become my friends. You know, I check up on them, I text them and everything. And so that's kind of the genesis of what Coffee and Pop came to be. And because of that, I didn't think I was going to be working in media, but I went to school for aerospace, and so it's kind of a departure, but I think that, you know, someday it'll come full circle again. And so in addition to Coffee and Pop, I also host and produce a podcast called Resolve about missing and murdered Indigenous women in Alaska, which is difficult work but important work. And then also Alaska Natives on the Front Line of Climate Change, which highlighted the adaptability and the resilience of the Inupiat in the face of climate change. So I just feel so lucky to be able to sit down with really cool people with, you know, maybe not conventional knowledge about whatever is going on in the world. I don't really care about that all the time. You know, I kind of want to just talk about people I admire, or talk with people that I admire and have great ideas, and then share that with my friends. You know, and my friend group just keeps growing now, so, you know, I got a bunch of listeners all over the world now, which is really cool. And so that's a little bit about me and Coffee and Pop.
One of the wonderful things that Alice picks out is the incredible tight communities and families that are in Arctic cultures. They depend on each other so much. And in a modern world where they are now given opportunities to go study outside of their villages and get a broader view of the world, they're also learning how to fit in and how to be their own people. But it's difficult when there's so little knowledge of their people in the outside world. Patek's daughter went off to college, and she found that she was very misunderstood, and a lot of that was because people had no idea of what her peoples in the North were about and what their values were and so forth. Here's Patek.
My daughter is in college, her first year away, in an anthropology class, and she called me upset that, "Mom, now I realize why I felt different. Because media around me is telling me that I'm not beautiful, I don't see myself in anything, and it's even, besides how I'm feeling from not seeing myself, I realize that even my peers, who are non-native, they kind of look down on me because of who I am and where I'm from and that I'm Inupiat. Because even the world doesn't understand us, doesn't give value, a lot of times doesn't give value to the same things that we give value. And so it is very negative, whether we see ourselves in it's a fake Eskimo in a commercial, in a parker to try to sell a truck, tires wider is better, you know, that there's that, or we don't see any of us at all, and then we see it. Opposite example of what is beauty, what is value, what is the best. And it can be very damaging to self-identity if we do not have voices such as Coffee and Claw or OG Triple V on TikTok. If we do not have those things where we can look up and see, wow, they're cool. What do we have? Where are we going? We have to uplift our youth so that they have the strength and the courage to withstand the storms of how the rest of the world sees us. And until we have that stand and that chance to tell the world who we are, we're going to continue to see or have our children feel like they don't belong, they're not good.
Cultural identity is a huge part of the storytelling benefits for people to understand the people of the North, and also it's important for them to tell their own story. It's difficult to imagine how the subsistence lifestyle in the North can be relatable to those that live in most of America. Patrick tells a little story about her frustration of a story that shows how to butcher a ptarmigan would not be represented. Here's Patrick.
There are a lot of stories that are not heard. For every one story that you might see go viral from the APAP people, or for every one story you might have seen in the news at one time, there are a thousand other stories that didn't even make it there. And why is that? Well, what happens is that we, it depends. Well, who's the main audience, right? Is there money in it? Who's benefiting? I mean, a lot of times there are stories that are censored because it doesn't fit in with the ideas, values of whoever is in charge of that platform in its entirety. You can't show a bird being cut up, a ptarmigan be cut up and be prepared for soup. Why? It violates community standards of TikTok. Whereas you can show maybe a cow being butchered for steaks, like, make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. So, thank you. So there, it's a challenge. What we as indigenous people, as Inupiaq people, need to continue to do is continue to share, continue to advocate, and continue to tell the stories that we want to be heard. That is the only way.
I agree with Patrick. You know, I think I asked myself the same question, how do you break through? And I had no idea what I was doing when I first started my podcast. I barely even knew what a podcast was. I just, you know, heard my partner listening to like Joe Rogan or something, and I'm like, Joe Rogan would be cool if he talked about cool Inupiaq stuff, you know? and I was like, well, we can do that. Anyone can do that. You know, I can do that. And so I was like, what would it sound like? What would it feel like? What would the messaging be? And I planned it out. I just got a bunch of papers together. I wrote down a mission. I wrote down some ideas of what I wanted to call it and who I wanted to talk to and why. Why I wanted to talk to this person or that person. And I kind of just, you know, wrote it all down, kind of like just messaged people, emailed folks to see if they were interested. And everyone was confused, myself included, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, I didn't have any of the proper technology, you know, or right microphone. I was using the wrong microphone for many, many years, even embarrassingly. But I figured it out, you know, and I'm not trying to break through to the world. And you know, that's a great goal maybe to have, but I really was just trying to break through to us, to our own people, because through the examination of topics like traditional Inuit tattoos, food, mental wellness, climate change, missing and murdered Indigenous women, the more that we can have those conversations with each other is going to cause some introspection for others listening too. I think that was important to me, because as I was speaking with folks, I was changing things in my mind about how I thought about things, and that's natural, that's great, that's what's supposed to happen. But it also, what's really cool about podcasting is it feels really intimate too. I feel like when you listen to people having real deep conversations with one another, you almost somehow feel included in it, and you feel that it's part of the discussion in your own mind. And I get that sense from my listeners and my followers too, is that they feel like they know me just by listening to me talk with other people. And so sometimes it's kind of like, whoa, I don't even know you, but you know me and you know my life and things like that. But so what's important to me is not really per se like trying to reach to the world and other people that are hell-bent on misunderstanding me. I really want to reach out to people that that see a sense of themselves in me or in us and in our communities. And that's what's most important to me. You know, whenever I think, and you know, I cry to my sister about certain projects or things like that, you know, she's always like, would your Aka be proud? You know, would your Aka be okay with it? And that's really what it's about, right? It's really not about impressing, you know, the President of the United States or some other person somewhere else. It's really about the people that mean the most to you, and to be able to create media that reaches important people in my life, and if it reaches other people, that's great.
The conversations with Patak and her sister Alice and how they are growing into their roles as leaders of the Arctic voices of the Inupiaq people is a very important time for them to be heard. It's wonderful to see them support one another and their children growing up in the modern world. I want to say a special thanks to Rachel Callender and Associates for creating such an incredible opportunity for people to meet from all around the world and talk about Arctic policy, Arctic challenges, and Arctic peoples. This was the 10th anniversary of the Arctic Encounter, and there's going to be another episode following this one of more of the conversations heard at this year's event. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Katie. This is the Alaska Climate and Aviation Podcast, and wishing you a great rest of your day.